Speak on one verse, Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 5, and I won't ask you to stand. You just got finished standing, and so we'll just read this verse, and then we'll jump right into it. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 5 says, "A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge, notice, increaseth strength. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge, increases strength." Heavenly Father, we love you and thank you again for the Word of God. And as we open it tonight, Lord, would you please give us wisdom? Would you please give us, Lord, the insight that we need to take the truths necessary to apply them to our life and our situation? Lord, everybody here has a different disposition. We have a different background. Lord, we have a different, in many cases, many different socioeconomic status. Lord, some of us were raised in a different culture altogether. But the one thing that we need is not just to be saved, but we need wisdom. And Lord, we ask that you would give us the spirit and the mind of Christ tonight. I ask that you'd please help me. Lord, I need you tonight desperately. I pray that you'd help me to be emptied of anything self-sufficient or vain or self-directed. Rather, Father, I pray that you'd help me to be filled with your Spirit. I yield my will to you. I ask that you'd use me simply as your messenger. And Lord, that you would preach to us the message that you would have for us concerning this matter of a strong man. I pray that you'll give us strength tonight through thy word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our verse tonight reminds us of the importance of wisdom in our life. Now, for most of us that have been in the study of Proverbs, this is nothing new. This is a mantra that we've been going through for the last several years. We're admonished not only to seek after wisdom in Proverbs chapter 2, but the New Testament admonition for wisdom is that we would walk in it every day. Turn in your Bibles real quickly, if you will, to Colossians chapter 4. And in a letter to a church to whom Paul would never meet personally, he writes to the church of Colossae, these people, and in Colossians chapter 4 and in verse 5. Now, this would be one of those verses, I suppose, that you could put on a 3x5 card and set out on your desk. You could handsomely frame it, perhaps, and put it in your office or put it somewhere where you could visibly see it. But notice what it says. It says, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without." And then notice the urgency, redeeming the time. We don't know what tomorrow holds, and we don't know what tomorrow holds for those that are around us, especially those that are without, that is, those that are unsaved. And God here tells these Christians, listen, Paul says, if there's something I could tell you, after he tells them, Colossians is just loaded with truth, but if there's something I could give you just before I sign off, I want you to remember to do this, walk in wisdom. That is, every day of your life, live concerning wisdom, the wisdom of God, the wisdom that you gain from God, the things necessary for your life and for those around you. Somebody said, Jim Berg said, wisdom is knowing the next right thing to do. That's a great blue-collar definition of wisdom. Wisdom is knowing the next right action to take. That is, if this happens, how does God want me to respond? If this person speaks this way, how do I respond? If that person acts this way, how do I respond? How am I supposed to be proactive in some things? All of those are given to us through the Word of God. And Paul's admonition is virtually an echo after echo after echo of every page that Solomon sets forth by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And that is, wisdom has got to be the principal thing. It must be principal in getting. It must be principal, the principle in living. Now, the days we live in are void of biblical truth, sadly. But sadly, there are too many Christians walking today the same way. We have what is supposed to be salt and light, grace and truth, and instead of being beacons of truth, we have little nightlights that only come out when they're turned on and only when it's safe. And God says, how in the world do you think that the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to be shed abroad if we don't have anybody willing to walk in wisdom? If we don't have anybody obtaining the wisdom from God Himself? There are too many Christians living void the same way of truth. They're void of the wisdom of God. Here our text indicates that there is a tremendous advantage to the person who would walk in wisdom. Notice what it says. It says, the wise man is strong. Now, if you go to the gym long enough, you will build up your strength. You do enough arm curls, you're going to be a little stronger. You spend enough time on the elliptical, your lungs are going to be a little stronger. Your heart muscle is going to be stronger. Your leg muscles will be a little stronger. Right, Brother Dave? Brother Dave puts in like an hour, and I'm like, I'm leaving, dude. You're like a mess. I can't even. Well, he's like a monster in the gym. And others, you know, you whatever muscle you work, it gets stronger. Now, let me ask you a question. Spiritually speaking tonight, how strong are you? Spiritually speaking tonight, when's the last time you exercised? And I don't mean like some people that go to the gym, Brother Scott, they go and they recreationally work out. You know, they're there and they're there for the social purposes of the gym. And they've got something in their hand, but more in their mouth. You know what I'm talking about? They're like gym lizards. They just lay around and wait for someone to come by. And they don't really do much. Dave's laughing because he knows what I'm talking about. You go and you do a little bit. And if you do a little bit, that's what you get in return. Right? When's the last time you really worked out? You know when you work out? I'm talking to a few of you. Dave, Scott, there's others in here. You work out and the next day you wake up and you're like, oh. Whatever you worked out is like sore to the touch. You know, my wife said the other day, honey, I want you to try this elliptical. I didn't even know elliptical was, I could say that without cussing out loud for a long time. Elliptical, what's that? So she said, which one to try? So I said, okay. She said, do 5 minutes. I was like, I got on and I was like, I'm going to do like two and get off and say I did five. I got on there and I tried to do it for a little while and I was like, that's good. I don't really like this. This motion's totally foreign to me. I don't like what I'm experiencing biologically right now. So I'm going to back off and press stop. And I did. And I thought, well, I mean, you know, it kicked my tail for 2.5 minutes. Now, you may say, that's not that big of a deal. I'm not that much in shape. Okay, my lungs were killing me. And you know what happened? I got up the next day, and what little I did, I had a little bit of soreness. Now, if you do a little, you'll get a little. If you do a lot, you'll get a lot more in return. Now let me ask the question again. Spiritually speaking, how strong are you? If the devil came knocking tonight with a phone call, or the wolf was howling at your back door, or the death angel came to your house, are you ready? If the devil came to you with a lie fabricated like Ananias and Sapphira did, are you ready? Because he's coming. And there's not enough spiritual strength in God's churches today. It's just not enough. Sadly, there are too many churches that are propped up by 4 or 5 really godly families. And the rest are just filling seats. When we come into the house of God, it's to gain what we need. When we leave, it's to exercise what we've gained. And the cycle goes on. Dr. Lee Robertson, years ago, 60, 70 years ago, said it takes 3 to thrive. You go to the gym once a week, Scott's not going to really do all that much. No. Dave, you go even twice a week in 7 days. Is that going to do all that much? No, it's not. You got to go, and you got to go, and you got to go. And when you go, you got to do something. Listen, you got to do something beneficial. This, it's not going to build any muscle. But stretching a muscle in preparation to do something, but that's not going to exercise the muscle. A lot of Christians that sit in churches today and listen to preachers like me that they don't like, and they're just stretching. They're not gaining. And as I said a couple of weeks ago, you could go to church the rest of your life, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and be the most wicked, vile, unspiritual person on the planet. Ask Ananias and Sapphira how that turned out. Coming to church doesn't make you spiritual. What you gain while you're in church, when you go out and exercise it, that makes you spiritual. By the leading of the Holy Spirit of God, you can actually work out your salvation in fear and trembling. And that which God, which is working in you, will come out. And according to the Bible, it has everything to do with wisdom. When's the last time you exercised? I mean, really exercised. Spiritually. Well, the Bible indicates that there's a central truth here that has to go with being strong and strength, and it has to do with wisdom and knowledge. Notice what it says. A wise man is strong, but notice a man of knowledge increaseth strength. So he's not satisfied. He wants to get stronger. He doesn't want to just be kind of fit spiritually. He wants to be strong spiritually. And the man of understanding, or the man of knowledge, we'll do that. I want us to take your outlines tonight and consider three telling truths about the importance of walking in the wisdom of God. First of all, I want you to see this concerning knowledge as power is the title. I want you to see the principle. The principle. Knowledge is power. They say that information is power, and that's true. If that is true, the more I know of my God and His Son, Jesus Christ, the stronger I become. Listen to Peter's admonishment in 2 Peter chapter 3. But grow in grace and in the knowledge. It doesn't say stay stagnant. It doesn't say let's just learn a few things. It says grow. Would you agree with me tonight that that means increase? It means to gain. Braden is convinced that he is now grown 15 feet. That's what he said to us. I said, you've grown up. Yep, 15 feet. I'm like, really? Yep, and I know everything. He's got all the bases covered. He is growing, and we've noticed that in the last several months he's grown. But that's the idea. It's an increase in stature. Let me ask you a question. You know how the Bible says of Jesus that he increased in wisdom, stature, and favor, both with God and man. Would that be characteristic of your spiritual walk? In the last 5 years, have you become more bitter or become more at peace? Have you become more of a gossip or are you more settled in trusting God? Have you become more easily angered or more negative, or have you become more faithfully trusting the Lord? Have you grown, or are you this mess like the Dead Sea? It's got all of this coming in, nothing going out, and it's dead. God says, hey, I want you to know the principle that we're supposed to grow. 2 Peter chapter 1 begins like this, and beside this, give all diligence to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. So the principle of knowledge is power is like this. When we grow in knowledge, we grow in all grace, Matthew Henry said. When we grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, all about His life, we grow in grace. So what I know equals power, and as I grow in that, I get more grace. It goes like this, letter A, little knowledge equals little grace. Little knowledge equals little grace. I'm not talking about salvation tonight. You don't have to know a whole lot about the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. But if I'm going to know and have a personal relationship like Brother Randy and I and Brother Greg have been trying to preach for the last several weeks over the summer, if you're going to really know Him, then you're going to need to know a little more than just that He died on the cross. Paul admonishes, the writer of Hebrews admonishes those saints and says, listen, you have need that someone goes back and teach you the elementary parts of the gospel again when you should have grown enough to teach somebody else. Little knowledge equals little grace. Secondly, more knowledge equals more grace. That makes sense. So then letter C, great knowledge equals great grace. Now notice 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And he said unto me, this is under letter A, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Notice this, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now that I know more of what you want, God, Christ said, no, I'm not removing it. My grace is sufficient. Now that I have that knowledge, let me turn around and do something with it. Now I'm going to glory in the opportunity that I have to have more of that. Little knowledge equals little grace. More knowledge equals more grace. But great knowledge equals great grace. Now, those that increase in wisdom are strengthened with all might. Now, I think you have the reference on your notes, Colossians chapter 1. You have it? For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be, notice this now, filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord into all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. And what's the next word? Mindy, say it loud. Say it again. Increasing. In what? In the knowledge of whom? God. In the knowledge of God, and then the next word is what? Many say it again. The next word is strengthened. strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Let me ask you a question. Do you pray that way for your kids? Do you pray that way for you? That you would increase in the knowledge of God? Are you walking so close to him like Enoch did that you're just increasing every single day in who he really is? And then are you taking the time to step back and you're formulating around that precious attribute of our God and you're saying, because he is that, this is advantageous to me in this way. And you're working that out. Because that's growing in the knowledge. You know, Brother Scott, the first attribute of God we meet with in the Bible is that he is almighty. That's the very first one. But do you know what the second one is? His mercy. The second attribute that you run into just shortly after you find out he's almighty is his mercy, which I did not know until today. I assumed that because there are over 630 references to the holiness of my God in the Bible, that that would be the most prominent, but that's not the way God worked it out. God said, no, I want him to know how powerful I am. The next thing you find out is that he's all merciful. Some 350 references to his mercy. Then, twice as many times mentioned, is his holiness. In that order. Did you know that before tonight? Did you know you could have, if you were looking for it? Little knowledge equals little grace. How much grace do you need? I've said for years, immature Christians make little problems big. Mature Christians take big problems and make them little. You see, what's the difference? The size of their God. They know how to temper whatever is the problem through the attribute of an almighty, very merciful, all-holy God. Immature Christians make little problems bigger. To know God, we could say, as we've studied on Sunday morning, is to love him. The more I know the Lord Jesus, the stronger I become in every aspect. Let me ask you a question. What is your knowledge of God? Let me ask it this way. Is it literal or theoretical? Well, I know this is what the Bible says. Is it just theory? Is it just Sunday school rhetoric to you? Well, this is the story of Noah and the ark, and this is the story of Daniel, and this is the story of Nebuchadnezzar. Is that what it is? A child's story? Is it a head knowledge or a heart knowledge? Is it small or great? You get the principle. Knowledge, according to the verse, is power. The Bible says, a wise man is strong. Let me ask you a question. Are you a wise man or are you a fool? Do you reject the truth? Do you reject the rebuke and reproof of the Holy Spirit of God and you just kind of ignore the truth when it's being preached? Or are you saying, no, I need that, and though it may hurt, and this is God knocking off the rough edges that I've built up, the calcium deposits of this hard water we call sin, and I want to rid my life of that so I can be strong again. You know, your water pipes build up and build up and build up in this hard water, and the next thing you know, it restricts the flow. That can happen in your heart also. The principle, let me show you the process, number two. Physical strength, some of you might want to write this down. Physical strength is limited by personal ability. There's only so much I can lift, so much Dave can lift, so much that Scott could bench, and I'm sure he could bench far more than what I could bench. So we're limited by our own physical ability. So physical strength is limited by personal ability. Spiritual strength is determined by your faith in God's ability. Spiritual strength is your belief in God's ability. So what you know about God will determine the amount of your spiritual strength. So let's think about it this way. The process goes something like this. Letter A, we're supposed to grow in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. The more you study the life of Christ, the more you commit to learn of Christ, the more of Christ will reflect in your daily life. Philippians 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. It starts there. Colossians 3 and verse 10 tells us that what we're supposed to be is a living reflection of the new man, Jesus Christ. And have put on the new man, which is renewed, notice this, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. How do I put them on? By learning about them. Do you know everything there is to know about Christ? Oh, yeah, I've studied it. I've read the gospel so many times. Pastor, I have done the 40 days of focus every single year since we've done it. I have read through the New Testament. I know the stories of Christ. Great, then you should be the best Christian I know. That should be the statement for every one of us, shouldn't it be? I've read the Bible. This will be my 17th time in less than a month through. And Brother Greg, I still need help. I still need to get my tanks filled every day. I've still got to go back to the well. I've got to go back to being broken. I've got to go back to submission. What we try to drive into children, our children when they're little, is look, you just need to submit and obey and understand that the order that we have for your life is something that you'll not regret later. You'll need that to surrender to God. But that's something that I'm still learning 47 years later in my life. I am not going to give up on obedience. I've got to grow. When I consider the life of Christ, I need to grow in that. Knowing it is not enough. It's knowing it and then saying, this is mine. I get it now. Knowing. We're supposed to grow in the knowledge of Christ. The more I know of how my Lord lived, helps me to know how to live and move with you. Jesus didn't live with a bunch of people who were nice. Hello? He lived among people that said stuff all the time and did stuff. And he was tempted just like you were, to retaliate, to be bitter, to be angry, to be jealous, to gossip. But he never did. He was tempted in all points. How do you know that? Well, it just happened to know the Bible says he was tempted in every way like we are, yet without sin. So I need to know more how he did that. I need to study to show myself approved unto God. Secondly, not just grow in my knowledge of the Savior, I need to increase my faith in what God says. It's not just, okay, I'm going to know this. It's saying now I've got to increase my faith in what he's saying. So faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Watch this, Hebrews chapter 11. Through faith also Sarah received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him, who, God, faithful. I'm not supposed to just take the knowledge. I'm supposed to take what I know now and I'm supposed to believe it. I'm supposed to say, God, if that's the way you want me to be, then I want to be. Let me ask you a question. Are you becoming more like Christ? Every day. Is that your goal? Paul said, I press toward the mark. I press. I'm not stopping. Or have you already got there? Because if you have, please tell me. I'll let you come up and finish the message. To my knowledge, nobody has. To my knowledge, probably even Mrs. Evelyn would say, I've not arrived after 94 years. My point is that it's not enough for us just to say, even then we know we've got to believe it. And then let us see, we need to act on what we know and believe. I want to give you a living example, two of them actually. Go to the book of Joshua. You guys remember Joshua? Great, 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 great man of God. Now, keep in context, please, if I just hold your attention. Please don't get spiritually ADD on me right now, okay? Just think of this, what we're talking about. We're talking about the process of increasing our strength and growing in knowledge of our God, the process. First, I want to grow in my knowledge of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's God. Then, I need to increase my faith in what God says, not just about who he is, but about everything that pertains to life and godliness. Then, let her see, based on what I know, based on what I've heard, I need to act and on what I know and believe. Now, Joshua chapter 1. Now, the Bible says, After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto whom? Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Now, look up here. It would have been fine if God would have never said another word. It would have been the command. I've made you for this day, Joshua, arise and go. okay? I'm telling you to go unto the land I do give them, even the children of Israel. That would have been enough, but God did not stop there. Notice what it says in verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Now God's doing a bridge. And he's getting ready to say something very important. Verse 4, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Now he's telling him what he is going to enable him to do. Now watch what he says. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And then he tells them, he gives them an attribute of God. I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee. What's that? That's his omnipresence. Now, he's already talked about his omnipotence. Everything that I've promised, I'm going to fulfill because I'm God. Now he's saying, what I've said, I'm faithful to do, and you're not going at it alone. Look at the next verse. Be, what's the next word? Be what? Be strong. If I increase my knowledge, he that increases knowledge is strengthened. Notice what it says. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance of the land, which I swear unto thy fathers, to their fathers, to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Here we go again. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. What happens in the next verse? Then Joshua commanded. What did he do? He acted on what he knew and believed. He took God's word and said, that's good enough for me. God didn't have to just say, go and take it. He said, go and take it. Here's why, because of who I am. Here's why, because of what I'm going to do for you. I'm never going to go, you're never going to go by yourself, and you will fulfill all of my will. Be strong and courageous. And Joshua was just that. He not only took the first step, he took every step, because you find at the end of the book, at the end of his life, he could have said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. He didn't say it like that. He said it like this. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. You can do what you want. You can serve whatever God you want. You can pretend to be spiritual, but I'm going to be spiritual. I'm going to be strong. I'm not going to die a spiritually weak man. That's my hero, Joshua. What did he do? He acted on what he knew and believed. Based on what Joshua knew about God and what God had told him about himself, he acted, and he never stopped acting. You find the same thing in Hebrews chapter 11. After they list all of the heroes of the faith, at the very end, we find these verses. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell thee of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and other prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens by what? By faith. What God said he was, and what he would do, and what they were to do, they just believed. But they didn't just have faith. They had works. They acted on it. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world is not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves and earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. They never received Christ. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. We have the promise of Christ. They didn't, and it just seems like they've accomplished more in their lifetime. By what they knew, by who they knew, and their actions because of it. You see, it's not what you know that gives you strength, but what you do with what you know that gives you strength. We see the principle, knowledge equals power. Little knowledge, little power. Little knowledge, little grace. More knowledge, more grace. Great knowledge, great grace. So you get to pick what you need tomorrow when you get up. You get to pick when the old devil comes howling. You get to pick. Oh, let me see in my drawer what I have. Oh, I only have a little grace. Probably ought to fix that. It's going. That's like going hunting without any bullets. Well, I'd like to shoot that, but I didn't bring any ammunition with me. The process. I need to grow. I need to trust. I need to act on what I know. Then number three, the purpose, and we're done. Why is it so important? Why get so excited? A wise man is strong. A man of knowledge increaseth strength. 2 Timothy tells us that the word of God is profitable to make sure that the man of God is thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I'm assuming that means that I'll have the strength to be able to do whatever God wants me to do. A Christian who was walking in the wisdom of God does not seek strength from God for selfish pursuits. God, give me the strength and the courage to get this done, and somehow thinking that God can't see the real motive of my heart. The spiritual Christian doesn't pray things like that. A Christian who's walking in wisdom of God is not seeking strength for selfish pursuits, but rather for the will of God to be done. We must not forget then what we are called to do as Christians. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building according to the grace of God which is given unto me. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth. There's two reasons. What's the purpose for spiritual strength that you need and I need every single day? Ready? First of all, for spiritual work. You need spiritual strength for spiritual work. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Maybe that's why more people aren't being saved. Or let me back up. Maybe that's why more people aren't being witnessed to. In order to see people saved, people have to be witnessing. Amen. That's Bible. They're not going to get saved by themselves. It's not the way the Bible works. It's not the way God works. He works through you. Spiritual work. The Bible says in Romans 4, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. 2 Corinthians 9, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Spiritual work is hard work. You have to have spiritual strength to do spiritual work. You can't do it weak. You know why? Watch this. You'll quit. You'll quit. You'll give up. You'll miss the mark. You won't reach the goal. You've got to continually strive. Any man that strives for the mastery strives lawfully. Brings himself into subjection. God, I want to do this because there's work to do. Someone I know needs to be saved. And I can't do that without you. I can't do it in the physical or the spiritual being as I am. I'm weak. I need strength. God, show me who you are. The righteous are as bold as lions. Why? Because they're better than everybody else? No, because God is greater. That's why. Spiritual work. Like Nehemiah of old, not only is there a great work to do, but there's a great warfare to fight. Why do I need spiritual strength? For spiritual work. Secondly, for spiritual warfare. Never forget Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. As we spoke on Sunday morning about the attacks of Satan from within the body of believers, we understand the devastation that occurs in the heart of those who are spiritually weak. What happened to Ananias and Sapphira? Could I say it this way? They stopped working out. They stopped lifting the weights. They stopped bending the knees. They stopped doing the spiritual exercise necessary to gain the wisdom of God and then to act on that wisdom. They stopped. And the devil said, I think I'll move in there. Spiritual warfare. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity and obedience of Christ. Wow. Did you know that you have access to that kind of power? You do. Are you strong enough? Let me ask you this way. Let me ask the other side of it. Are you struggling in your mind? Because that's where the battle's fought. Why are you so negative? because you're not thinking on Him. Why are you so doubtful? Because you're not thinking on Him. There's a reason that in the context of looking unto Jesus, it says that you would not faint. There's a reason that God says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their... All this is profitable. It's to truly furnish us. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Endure hardness as a good soldier. You see, too often a Christian seeks to obtain from God that which is advantageous to their will rather than God's will. And every time you pray a prayer amiss, as James says, you get weaker and weaker and weaker instead of growing stronger and stronger and stronger. Haphazardly, we gaze through the pages of wisdom and search for, and I hear this a lot, well, I was just looking for that nugget for momentary consideration, and then that's all. It's just, there it is. I got it. Lord, thanks for that. Help me. We're gone. That's the extent of our digging. So that's when the lion comes around. So when the lion comes around, we've not been to the weight room of God's holiness. We've not been to the obstacle course of Christ's Gethsemane. We've not labored in the fields of God's Word, gleaning for warfare. And we become vulnerable and weak. I read a story. According to ancient Greek mythology, when Hercules wrestled with Antaeus, every time Antaeus was thrown, he jumped up again stronger than ever, gaining fresh power from every contact with the earth. Hercules was perplexed. Then he figured it out. Hercules conquered him at last only by holding him in the air away from the source of his strength until he grew weaker and weaker, finally became exhausted. Do you know Satan's done a pretty good job of that? Satan's done a pretty good job at keeping us from the source of our strength, hasn't he? If we are ever going to see revival in this church or in your life, you've got to admit that before God. God, Satan has done a great job of lying to me, and he's kept me separated from the source of my strength. And what I need is strength. He's done a great job. But we shouldn't let him anymore. It's time to recognize that truth and turn to Christ. Interestingly enough, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That's a quote from the Savior. Growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a wise man is strong. Yea, man of knowledge increaseth strength. Father, we love you and we thank you for truth. Pray tonight that you'd bless this in our hearts. Lord, I'm not going to give an invitation tonight. But I'm going to ask that you give the invitation tonight before we sleep, that every Christian would take the truth into consideration into their heart, and that they would be strengthened by it. Lord, part of gaining muscle is the breaking down of tissue. As I see in the Word of God, before I ever gain and grow in grace, I've got to be broken. God, admit it. God, I've been kept from the source of my strength. I don't want to be there anymore. I want to come to the source, my Savior. I want to be forgiven. And I want to press. I want to increase my strength. Maybe you need to pray that tonight. I pray that you would. And I pray, God, by your grace and strength, you dismiss us tonight. Pray that you bless the meetings to follow. Pray that you give us wisdom. Help us to conduct ourselves, Lord, in such a way, that you would be pleased, and that every day we would grow stronger and stronger for the work and for the fight. Bless these Christians tonight. Encourage them. Help them to stay faithful. Not just busy for busyness' sake, but faithful. Create a disposition in us like Christ, not like Satan. May there not be a bitter word, a negative spirit, that sourness sometimes, Lord, I hear in a tone that comes out of a the face of a Christian just is the minor key of hell. And I always wonder that person's even walked with you today. God, give us a reviving of strength. We ask this all in the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Let's all stand together. Thank you for being here tonight. I think